This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I want to remind you that we are on facebook.com/ The Taylor Report. We're also on soundcloud.com, Taylor-Report. That's facebook.com, The Taylor Report, and soundcloud.com, Taylor-Report. As I mentioned, our good friend Ann Garrison did a very nice commentary for Black Agenda Report, and the people at Voice Program on WPFWDC's Voices with Vision aired Ann's editorial on Paul Ruth Sabagina, and we're going to play that in a few moments, and we thank her very much for having done that interview. This is the Taylor Report, and we'll be back following Ann's commentary.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Sabagina, the real-life protagonist whose heroic story is the basis of the film Hotel Rwanda, is now imprisoned and on trial in Rwanda for preposterous terrorism charges.
So 20 years later, we see that all of those people who advocate for human rights, for our rights, of the political rights, all of those who advocate for media freedom, all of those who advocate, who speak for the voiceless, are put in prison.
Rwandan operatives kidnapped him in Dubai at the beginning of September and forcibly extradited him to Rwanda on the orders of Rwandan President Paul Kagame, who has for years been celebrated as Rwanda's savior, the general who stopped the genocide. A long list of investigative works, most recently Judy Weaver's book, In Praise of Blood, Crimes of the Rwandan Patriotic Front, and decades of UN reports detailing the Rwandan army's atrocities in both Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo have belied that tale. But U.S. and other NATO nations continue to support Kagame. Paul Rusesabagina is a longtime critic of Kagame's regime and its war on the Congolese people and the Rwandan refugee population who crossed the Rwandan-Congolese border to escape his advancing army in 1994. I've spoken to him for Pacifica's KPFA radio and the San Francisco Baby newspaper about Rwanda and Congo, and for Counterpunch on invoking Rwanda to attack Syria. I read and recommend his beautiful book, An Ordinary Man, and I've followed his activism on behalf of peace in the African Great Lakes region for over 10 years. I hope to see him released.
20 years later, there is another sad story of many innocent people who have been killed. I remember in 1994-95, I was in Rwanda. I witnessed a displaced camp being destroyed by machine guns on the ground and helicopter bombardment in the air. We have witnessed what has been going on in the neighboring Congo since 1996, because a group of people, especially from Rwanda, attacked this country, the Rwandan New Army, because of minerals. And they, since then to date, we have had more than 7 million victims, more than 300,000 Rwandan refugees from the Hutu side have been killed, all of them because of what they are, because they were Hutus. And this has been documented by the UN mapping report. 20 years later, many proxy militias have been entertained in my neighboring Congo.
All that said, I first reacted negatively to Hotel Rwanda, the Hollywood movie based on Rusesabagina's heroism in protecting more than 1,000 people who took shelter in the hotel he managed during the 100 days of massacres that began on April 6, 1994. I reacted negatively because the story was already being used as propaganda for U.S. wars. Paul Rusesabagina himself has said that he was happy with the movie as the story of a man taking a moral stand amidst a bloodbath and collapse of social order, but the movie is at the same time a simplification with a Hollywood ending. Unfortunately, that simplification has been used to try to justify the destruction of the Libyan state in 2011 and the relentless bombing of Syria that began in response to a false flag chemical weapons attack in 2013. In both cases, the U.S. claimed that it was compelled to stop genocide, as it had failed to do in Rwanda, even though Bill Clinton's administration actually stepped in to prevent a U.N. intervention during the Rwandan genocide, because they wanted to see then-General, now-President Paul Kagame win the four-year civil war that preceded the final 100 days of massacres. They wanted to see him seize power and become their partner in the region. But the misuse of the movie is no reason not to campaign for the release of Paul Rusesabagina, a true champion of human rights. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Africa and Global Health Policy, published a letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo urging him to demand a fair trial for Paul. The George and Amal Clooney Foundation and the American Bar Association Center for Human Rights have said they're sending an observer to make sure he gets a fair trial. However, no one who knows much about Rwanda could imagine that a fair trial is possible. And even if it were, his kidnapping and rendition to Rwanda broke international law, including the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which both the U.S. and Rwanda have signed. It also violated his constitutional rights as a permanent resident of the U.S., and the U.S. needs to demand that he be returned. And if Rwanda wants to extradite and try him in Rwanda, they need to go into court in the U.S. and make their case to do it legally. There's more on this in my several reports on Paul Rusesabagina's situation in Black Agenda Report, including my interview with University of Pittsburgh Law Professor Dan Kovalik about legal and political possibilities for getting him back to the U.S. As he said, you can't just go around kidnapping people. Paul Rusesabagina, and not Paul Kagame, is among Rwanda's real heroes. He's also a hero to the Congolese for speaking out against Kagame's catastrophic war and occupation of Congo, which has cost millions of black lives.
I think the only better future for Rwanda and the region would be to silence guns at once, silence guns and give a chance to words. By dialogue, we then find a lasting peace. That is the only way to a lasting peace.
Thanks to Voices with Vision for giving me a chance to share his case. I'm Ann Garrison.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.